All right, we're studying in the book of Ezekiel, and we're in chapter 2. Ezekiel in chapter 1 had quite an experience. He saw this living creature. There's four of them besides a wheel. They had wings that didn't move, didn't flap, and had lightning coming out of the wings. Could be the noise of a jet propulsion or so on that's involved with that. He had a firmament and a helmet on. He couldn't breathe our atmosphere. And then we find that from this firmament went up a colored screen. And there on the screen, we have the throne of God. And this is a similar to what we would call today a Zoom call from God. It's a two-way communication. God could see, of course, you could see him without this, but could see the matter of Ezekiel, and Ezekiel could see and hear God. And so in chapter 2, we're looking at the message that God gave Ezekiel and how he spoke to him through this technology that was far advanced, even advanced of today. And so as it starts off in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1, and he said to me, "Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee." Of course, when Ezekiel had seen all that was going on, these wheels and these creatures and all, he just fainted. I mean, it was too much for him. And now God told him to stand up. He called him the Son of Man. And this is quite a term that was used. So in question number one, Ezekiel was called the
Son of Man.
All right, the Son of Man. Now, Ezekiel was called the Son of Man 93 times in this book. And so it's something that God very definitely wanted to identify him and him to recognize that he is the Son of Man. So why was Ezekiel called the Son of Man? Why don't they just call him Ezekiel, or a priest or the prophet in that? So this is what we want to look at. Well, one of the reasons is to let Ezekiel know that after being in the presence of the heavenly host of God, he's not one of them. We're not gods. And we need to recognize our position. We're serving God, the only true living God of the cosmos and the heavenly host. That is around. We're not like them. They have extraordinary power. They do things we cannot do, but they're not gods either. Only God is a true God. But here Ezekiel experienced some of this. And so God says, Son of Man, and keeps reminding him of this all the way through. Now, another reason that God called him Son of Man, realizing his position, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, angels and cherubims and seraphims and the heavenly hosts, we don't know what they were created out of, but it wasn't from the dust of the earth. The Son of Man, mankind is created from the dust of the ground. And our bodies are terrestrial bodies, limited to this earth, and we can only breathe this atmosphere, and our bodies decay just as anything else on this earth does. So question two, the reason why God called Ezekiel the Son of Man is to let Ezekiel know that he is a terrestrial human that was formed of the out of the dust of the ground on this earth. Now, only through the resurrection of Christ will our bodies be raised like unto the celestial resurrected body of Christ that he raised from after the cross. And right now, our body's terrestrial. It's formed from the dust of the ground. Then in Psalms 8:4, the Bible says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor." though man is not a God, he's not an angel, he won't become an angel, he is to become a child of God, but before he's saved, he's lower than the angels. Now, of all of the heavenly hosts that you have, of the cherubims, the seraphims, the principalities and powers, are angels that bow on the bottom of the totem pole. And man's lower than that, see. So being identified as the Son of Man, we need to realize, hey, we're not the big cheese here. We're not the ones that's above everything else at this point. So to let him know that he is lower than the angels. We get to thinking we're greater than God. Now, how do we do that? People argue and they say, oh, no, I know God's greater, but why are you telling him how to do things? If he's as great as he's supposed to be at all, why are you giving him instructions? He's giving you instructions and you're ignoring them. You need to follow his instructions. You need him. And he knows what is right. The ways of man leads to destruction. Now in Psalms 121, verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. My help. Mankind needs help. We don't like to admit that. We think we know it all. We think we can do it all. We think that we have it all, and we can't. Those that have tried to reach the height of what is earth or mankind would call successful still need help. You can have all the money in the world and you still need help. You can have all the knowledge in the world and you still need help. So God was calling Ezekiel, son of man, to let him know that he is limited and need God's help. And praise God that he does help us. Yeah. And that we have that instant communication. Now here, Ezekiel is seeing a communication that is far beyond anything he could imagine in this. And even we today, up until this point, we really didn't understand and still don't quite understand at all. There's still more involved in that of the technology there. But we've been practicing a technology that far exceeds everything else. We can communicate to God by prayer. And that communication goes further than any other signal we could put out from this earth. That signal travels past our moon, past our solar system, past the galaxies, all the way through to the third heaven in the very presence of God. And it is instantly. It's not delayed. Right now with Zoom, sometimes we have a delay in the signal. On Skype, we had a big delay with them. And the further you have of communicating, there's a delay when our men go to the moon and try to communicate back here. There's a delay because the signal is not fast. We exercise a signal that's far superior than anything that we've even thought about trying to develop. We need help, and praise God, we have that instant communication with God, and he hears and he answers our prayers. Now, Jesus called himself the Son of Man 81 times. So here we find this term, Son of Man, is used again. Not only God reminding Ezekiel of who he is and that he's lower, that he's not a God, he's lower than the angels, he needs help. And God will provide that help. Well, why did Jesus call himself the Son of Man? See? And so we want to take a look at this and see along the same thing with him. Now, Jesus, in all of his glory and all that he has of his heavenly body that he had before he came to this earth, came to this earth not in his heavenly form, but he came in our form. He didn't come and possess another person's body. He came born of a virgin, and the physical body was formed around his soul and developed. And so we find in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Jesus did not come as an angel in any time or form. Hebrews tells us that. Jesus came in the fullness of time. Think about that. Oh, he was there in the fire with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. No, he wasn't. That wasn't the fullness of time. For him to come to this earth, God prepared a body for him, and that was human body, because we are created in the image of God. If he came in an animal, that would disgrace God. If he came in the form of an angel, that would disgrace God, or anything else. He could only take on a form that was in the image of God, that would honor God. And he did. And that had to be through a woman, had to be through a virgin. And that the purpose that he would come to this earth would be to redeem those that were under the law. Now, what about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They needed help. Others have needed help in the Old Testament. And what did God do? He sent angels to help them. Jesus didn't need to come. He needed to come at the fullness of time. Are you getting the picture? See, he was incarnate, not reincarnated. He was incarnate this time. And so in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. And Jesus came, born of a virgin. So Jesus identified himself as the Son of Man to show that he came to this earth through a virgin. So you must believe in the virgin birth of Christ. Now, why that? The blood of a child bears that of his father. Jesus' blood that he had in our form, in the human form, was that of the Heavenly Father. Only his blood would be holy. Only his blood would be righteous. Our blood is Adam's blood that's sinful. Could not be accepted for sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ could be accepted. So he came. And so he's identified as a son of man. He identified himself as the son of man to show that he came born of a virgin, just as God said he would. Now in 1 Corinthians 15:42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is shown in corruption and is raised in incorruption. Now, Jesus took our form that is corruptible. I didn't say sinful, corruptible. That means it dies, it gets old, and it gets weak, it has problems and difficulties down from the time of birth all the way through on that. And he changed it in his resurrection to an incorruptible body. And our bodies will be changed when at the rapture, when it's raised or transfigured. So to show that Jesus would change our earthly terrestrial body to a heavenly celestial body by his resurrection. So Jesus identified him as a son of, identified himself as a son of man to show that he would change our earthly body to a body, a celestial body. Man, what a blessing. What a wonderful thing that God has done for us and show us in this and realizing what's going on. Now, in Ezekiel 2:2, the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet that I heard him that spake unto me. So Ezekiel heard God speak to him. Now, well, what's so great about that? You have to go back to the Old Testament. Well, we're in the Old Testament. Go further back in the Old Testament. Back to Moses. Now, God talked to Moses, and Moses talked to God on the mountain from time to time. The people questioned that at times. Then God said, all right, Moses, gather the people around this mountain. Tell them to clean themselves up. Put a barrier around this thing. Don't let any animal come up on it. Don't let any human get on this mountain. And I will appear to the people. And when they gather around that mountain, fire, smoke, and then the power of God was demonstrated. I mean, it shook the ground. People didn't know what was going on. Then they heard a trumpet that didn't stop. No breath was taken in it. I mean, it went on and on and on. Now, you've got about a million or two people out there hearing all of this. That thing was loud enough that everybody could hear it. Scared them to death. Then they heard the voice of God. And God spoke the Ten Commandments to them before he gave it to Moses on the mountain, on the tablet. Do you know what they did? They told Moses, you talk to God, we don't want to hear him again. We'll die. Let him speak through you. So down through the years, God didn't speak like he did on the mountain again, where they could hear him audibly. He spoke through the prophets. He spoke through the angels. He spoke through different means and ways. Now Ezekiel hears God. He sees him sitting on the throne above this living creature, and he hears him speak to him. This is quite an experience. So Ezekiel pays attention. He's not going to treat this, well, I'm just dreaming. I ate the wrong thing. I have a nightmare or something. Else. No, it's a reality. So in verse 3, Ezekiel 2:3, and he said to me, son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. So question 8, Ezekiel was sent to the children of Israel. Now, where is Ezekiel at this time? He's in Babylon. He's in captivity under Nebuchadnezzar. God didn't send him to the Babylonians. He sent him to Israel, to the children of Israel, and in a state where they were rebellious. Not to a people that spoke, the people of God that would be obedient to God, but to a rebellious nation. Their fathers transgressed him, and even they do it this day, even when God scattered them, they're still rebellious. They're not paying any attention to what God is doing, and they won't repent. You go to them and tell them what I want you to say. Now, I could demonstrate that quite a bit with what's going on today. I've been sent to churches that didn't want to listen. That's not an easy task. Man, I'm going to do God's will. This is a great thing. Well, you can do God's will. It's going to not be all that great. It's going to be a difficult time. You got to really realize that it's tough and it's rough on that. And so question 9, the word children is in reference to the rebellious Israeli nation. Now, verse 4, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted, I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. Now, God identifies Ezekiel as the son of man a number of times. Now, He tells him, as you go to my people, to the children of Israel, you're to say, thus saith the Lord God, not what you think. Well, I think this is the way it's supposed to be. No, you say, thus saith the Lord God. So Ezekiel was to go to a stiff-hearted and impudent nation and say, thus saith the Lord. Now that's an interesting statement. Thus saith the Lord is used 126 times in the book of Ezekiel. It's also used 147 times in Jeremiah. Jeremiah had the same problem that Ezekiel had, in that he was going to a rebellious people that didn't want to listen to him. In fact, they put him in jail. He had all kinds of problems. Well, it is used in a total of 19 books of the Old Testament. And Exodus used 10 times. And Joshua is used 2 times. And Judges used 1 time, thus saith the Lord. And 1 Samuel is used 5 times. And 2 Samuel is used 5 times. And 1 Kings 12 times, 2 Kings 20 times. In 1 Chronicles, that statement, thus saith the Lord, is used 4 times. In 2 Chronicles, it's used 5 times. Isaiah, it's used 35 times. That statement, thus saith the Lord, as we mentioned a while ago, is used 147 times, the most it's used in any one book. Then Ezekiel, it is used 126 times. Amos used 13 times. Obadiah used 1 time. And Micah used 2 times. Nahum, it's used 1 time. Haggai, it's used 4 times. Zechariah, it's used 8 times. Malachi, it's used 1 time. Have we learned anything from all these times that is used through the Old Testament? Thus saith the Lord. When we get to the New Testament, and Hebrews talks about God spoke in divers manners in the old time to the fathers by the prophets and so on, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. When we read the Bible, we need to make the statement, thus saith the Lord. Everything in it. Oh, well, it talks about Jeremiah saying this and Ezekiel saying that. That's because God wanted you to know what Jeremiah said, what Ezekiel said, or what anyone else said. There's a lot of things that could have been revealed. The Bible is not a diary of every event that happened, Old or New Testament. God brings out certain events and certain things that people said for a definite purpose that he used to speak to us. Thus saith the Lord. When you refuse to use thus saith the Lord, you're moving the Bible from a divine heavenly book to a human book. And you've lost the message. And you won't pay attention to what man has to say. But you better pay attention to what God has to say. So here, God is revealing to Ezekiel, first of all, your position. You're not a God. You're created on this earth. And when you talk, you're to talk what I tell you. Say what I tell you. And you're to say, thus saith the Lord. And we need to do that today. We need preachers who get up and preach, thus saith the Lord. Not what Paul wrote or what John wrote or what Peter said. Thus saith the Lord. That was preached in the old days. And people came under conviction. People repented. And people got right with God. Today, we don't do that, and you can't get people to repent. We hardly even have an invitation anymore. You see what's happening? We need to learn from Ezekiel. Thus saith the Lord, what God would have us to know from this book of Ezekiel. All right.